please rise for flag salute. Chief Biagi, lead us, please.
Attention, salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please roll call, please.
Commissioner Crevel?
Here.
Commissioner Langraff?
Here.
Mayor Holtzman?
Here. Pursuant to the Open Public Meeting Act, adequate notice of this meeting has been provided in accordance with the law. So first thing we're going to do tonight is we have two young ladies to recognize, which I don't know the one, but I know the other one. When she was little. I'm going to read the certificates of special recognition, and then we'll have you come up, and commissioners and I will present them to you, and then we can take pictures with your parents, okay? Where's Julia? Is that you? I know who Lauren is. Okay. So, this is a certificate of special recognition presented to Julia Loeb, whose quick thinking, courage, and steadfastness motivated her to call 911 on July 26, 2019 in the life-threatening situation, ultimately saving a life. God bless you. I'm doing yours last, Lauren, or second, because it was your thought. You could get anything from him now. For the rest of, just as long as you don't put it in a plastic bag. That's it. The certificate of special recognition is presented to Lauren Merlino for your quick thinking, courage, and heroic action on July 26, 2019, which contributed to saving the life of your father.
Your nickname?
I never thanked you.
I know.
So you're more confident, obviously, than you have been in our field. Thank you so much. Who did that, please?
Not me. Check the camera.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We know.
Of course you know.
Go ahead.
Okay. We are going to jump right to our Superintendent of Public Works, Engineer Ed Stinson, because he has some things he'd like to present to the commission, and then he needs to go. Correct?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
On your agenda tonight, we have two resolutions. The first resolution is awarding a contract for asphalt installations. We solicited three prices. The low bidder was $13,568 from Cement Works Plus LLC, a local company here in Ventnor. It consists of asphalt installation on the utility trenches that Public Works has opened and temporarily restored, and also some asphalt restoration adjacent to new concrete gutters that were installed under the Ferrazzi concrete to alleviate some of the issues at certain spots throughout the island. Little Rock and Winchester being the largest one. That's the first resolution, and our recommendation is for the contract. Second resolution is a final work change order. You may recall we awarded a contract to El Ferrazzi Concrete for accessible ramp installation in the Heights section of town. That was done to fix concrete gutter and install the handicap ramps in the corners prior to South Jersey Gas required paving of those streets. In that contract, we did a lot of extra work. We added work to that contract. We replaced almost double the amount of concrete gutter that we had originally anticipated. Well more than double the curbing, additional driveways. We did also work at putting the pad for the new lifeguard garage on Surrey Avenue, and we picked up a couple of problem areas throughout the island we had with concrete gutter. So the change order there is an appendix that shows the increases in those quantities. The increase in the contract is roughly $130,000, but it is almost entirely additional curbing, additional gutters, additional sidewalk, and curbing. And our recommendation and request is that you approve the change order.
Ed and I were in Public Works, we reviewed all this, these additional items, and they're all needed repairs. We had the contract here, It was efficient to get it done while he was here, and the work was done well, quickly done. So if you drive down some of the streets and heights that were paved, that we added, you'll see certain sections, we fixed some drainage issues we had, some broken curb, things of that nature. Really worthwhile effort. Getting the streets paved by South Jersey Gas, we wanted to make sure we had it fixed as much as we could on our side before that paving happened. Right. So it was well worth the money.
Yeah, I agree.
Not something you want to do all the time to add this much to a contract, but this works for us.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Thank you.
It was in capital.
It was in capital. Yeah, we had money there. It's just that particular contract. Yeah. Was a little higher. Ernie wants here, and then we're going to wait till we get to that. The back truck.
Ernie, do you want to come up and talk about the back truck so we can get that done as well? And then we'll, because it's a short meeting tonight.
Okay.
What's that? Yeah.
Water and wastewater. I've been here since April of 2016. One of the needs that we've seen when I got here is we spent a lot of money as far as a collection system. We're hiring a lot of vendors, and a lot of that is for a collection system. And we have brought in backer truck after backer truck going through our system, which is obviously AIDS. And about 6 to 8 months ago, Commissioner Lance, myself, and also John Connor, and Ed Stinson conceived of possibly buying a tractor truck. Well, that launched a 6 to 8 month, basically going out to vendors in the area that sell this. We did thoroughly research it. We came down to 3 vendors, and of those, we compared everything. One was price, one was training, one was the availability of maintenance and how close they are to us as far as where your shop is. And lastly, the truck itself. Now, we've selected a vendor, and we base that on those 4 characteristics. The vendor that we selected has given us training for not only our operators that are going to run the machine, they're also going to train our mechanics. So if there's something simple that goes wrong on this large vehicle, we can handle it in-house rather than dragging it to them. So price, they were actually the lowest. As far as the truck is concerned, pretty much when I viewed and John Connor and Stinson viewed about, they're basically all the same. They have their pluses and minuses, depending on the vendor. One may have a vendor better pump on it, one may have better hose that is used, just different things that I have on it.
Is that the exact truck, Ernie?
Yeah, that's the exact truck, except minus the back wheels. It's only a single axle. This would be used around town to clean our wastewater collection systems. We would lift manholes, clean the lines, clean the manhole. The other thing that we'd be able to do is we would be able to go around and clean storm sewers. Right now we have a storm, we have a small vacuum at Public Works. It's very small, and we can collect literally 3 storm sewers, then we have to run back to Public Works and dump it. So, and plus it's 30 plus years old. Works, but the idea behind this is to actually, we're going to save money. We're going to be able to get a whole ahead of all of our collection system. We're not going to have to rely on somebody to call and be there for us in a time of need. We'll be able to go around and visit each and every manhole in the city, each and every storm drain, and that way we can get a real good handle of our system. Like I said, we've done a lot of research, and pretty much we selected the vendor to hopefully purchase this vehicle. So, any questions?
I've been involved with Ernie and Ed looking at this thing, and really the sewer and water team over at Public Works. I mean, it's the day they brought the vehicle down, he had any guy that even touched the vehicle, you know, asking questions, and Snake and Joey and those guys were, they had some good questions about how do you do this, how do you do that, what can this do in this case. So what this does, the front end, you see that in the orange area, that's a hose, it's a jet hose. This, we have a jet truck now. We have a very small towable backer. This combined both of those things into one unit. The front is the hose, and the back is the elephant-looking trunk coming around the front, that's the backer. What it can also do is you can do what's called hydraulic excavation. So if we're in an area where we can't get in there with a backup, you might damage some pipe that's down there, you use the vacuum, and you have a hookup where you can do a spray nozzle. You spray water into there, and that vacuum loosens up. The water loosens up the material with dirt, and then it shoots it up into the vacuum. So that truck that came down, the 2-axle, didn't fit on all of our streets, so we had to get a little bit smaller to get down some of our side streets. This, an example yesterday, what did video pipe cost us for yesterday?
Probably about $2,000.
That was a day. Mm-hmm. They're here multiple times a month, several dozen times a year. This is a machine that can help us. Our guys do the work. We know how to use it, and we don't have to bring in video pipes for that.
I
we're not calling it an emergency situation.
When it's over.
Exactly, right, we're doing it proactively, and it's regular maintenance, which is what we're trying to accomplish throughout.
Right now, we're trying to do the stormwater maintenance with our, as Ernie indicated, the towable backer, and it's too small. You've seen it, it's yellow, it looks like a, just a big bubble on the back of the trailer. And it's just too small, the capacity's not there, takes too long to do, it will take us too much longer to do the maintenance. And our stormwater's, it's aging, so we've got to clean it out. You get sand in it, you get a lot of things in it, so.
Do other cities have it?
Atlantic City, their sewer authority has two, Ernie?
They have two in Atlantic City, Margate is contracted out for video pipe. Mumbauer has their own, but it's their needs. Let's see, Summers Point has two of their own. Northfield has two. We actually went down to Cape May, they have two. They just purchased the new one within the year. So we were around, we went up to Egg Harbor, what's that, Little Egg? Up by lower part of, what is that?
Ocean County.
Ocean, yeah, the lower part of Ocean County. They had two of them. So municipalities do have them. I think the biggest thing for us is that over time, I know we will pay for it. I know last year we spent over $40,000 to video pipe and another vendor, Northfield Pipe.
Mm-hmm.
Easily, we'll be able to take that money and we'll pay for itself easily. Mm-hmm. And then one note you said about the hydro excavation. One thing that's going to happen over the next 10 years is the state's going to require all digging to be done by hydro excavation. You're going to be taking away your backhoes. The problem being is they don't want you to get any kind of utilities with hydro excavation. You can't. You're using water to apply to the ground and actually suck it into the machine.
Right.
So that was another additive to add to the machine when we were purchasing. And this is machine, it's actually, what we did is we spec it out to exactly what we would need for our city.
What's the cost?
$367,267.
It's a very pricey machine, but I know we'll get our value out of it.
Ernie, you may want to talk to whoever does the community grading system for Ventnor, because I know if you have a scheduled maintenance program, street sweeping, and cleaning the catch basins, you get points toward your community grading number. And the lower that number goes, the more of a discount to people in Ventnor who have flood insurance policies.
Yeah. Ed mentioned that when we first talked about this. So Dean will get the email on that. Thank you so much.
We all know, I mean, the infrastructure has been our biggest anchor, and this is an opportunity to be proactive about it. Not you personally.
The cinder block.
We found one of them yesterday.
Yesterday we found the cinder block in our collection system.
A cinder block?
Yes.
And I just said that as a joke.
No, seriously, yesterday we did find one. Really? Somebody had to visibly open that manhole and throw it in there. And I was telling that to somebody at ACUA, and he said, well, he gave me one of his horror stories. He said that he found a bowling ball, one he was working on at one point in his career. It's crazy stuff you find in there.
Yeah. So one of the reasons we brought this in is this is a discussion item.
Yeah.
But I'd like to move it into a resolution.
Okay.
So we can get this so
ordered. Yes, okay.
The timeline for this is probably 6 to 9
months.
Yeah,
it's not okay, so we're going to add that tonight?
We're going to add that tonight. We have the resolution here.
Great.
We'll add that to our items. And we'll get it here as soon as we can.
Which number?
251.
Can I answer any more questions?
I think we're good. The actual name of it is?
The H.A. DeHart & Son equipped, or it's a vacuum unit and water wastewater treatment.
I'm just going to say it.
Vacuum.
Vacuum.
There you go.
Oh, would you like me to go through my...
No, we're good. We're
no.
Good.
No, I've got the backup.
Oh.
Would you like me to do my monthly report?
No,
we're not doing that.
Yeah.
We're good.
Okay.
Thank you, Ernie. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Or you can send a written if you didn't do it.
Send a written.
You're sending it.
I'll just
A written report.
Just send an email, what I thought.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thanks for coming.
Yes, you can.
So we'll move on now. We do not have any department head reports. We are not discussing capital. We will not have any minutes to approve. We do not have any ordinances to introduce. We do not have any ordinances to adopt, nor public hearings. But we do have a resolution that we will vote on by consent, and I'll go through a few that have not been already discussed. So the first one is Resolution 2019-241, and that is authorizing us to accept the annual audit, which I know is good. We had no material findings. Am I correct?
Correct.
Are you okay with that?
Yes.
Next is 2019-242, tax abatement, 1B1 Victoria Avenue. The next is 2019-243, and that, is that the one? That's not. Oh, no, this is a resolution where the contract to Arthur Henry, the general repairs and construction of utilities on an ad-need basis for the emergency purpose.
Yep,
so
$15,991.
Thank you. You okay with that?
Yes.
Next, 2019-244, and that is a seasonal employee. This is an additional person for our surf camp, and this is as needed, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Right. The next is 2019-245, another tax abatement, which is 1A North Victoria Avenue. Next is the next two, I think it's E and E&F 2019-246 and 247 are the two that Ed Stinson spoke about.
It's F and G.
Is it F and G? Oh yes, I can't say F and G, sorry. Mr. Stinson reported on that, so I don't think we need to say anything else.
Nope.
Next is 2019-248, and that is a resolution authorizing a shared service between the City of Margie and the City of Ventnor for the use of their dog park. And the resolution has a dollar now, $3,500. Correct?
Correct.
Okay. Next, 2019-249, and that is a resolution authorizing us to participate in the Union County Co-op pricing agreement, which allows us to get more bang for our money. Correct, Maria?
Correct.
And it's public safety equipment, am I correct?
Correct.
Yes.
Yes.
Next, 2019-250 is extending the due date for the 2019 third quarter tax. So that is all I have. So we will have approval of bills and payroll. We had our discussion items.
We had one, we have another one.
Oh, we have another one? I don't have a fine one in my back. I'm working
with
the surf fishing derby.
Oh, that's good.
We asked them to discuss security and parking.
Yeah, when you're when you want work, you just not.
We got on the discussion agenda, but that's good.
Okay. Let's hit the derby thing real fast.
And yeah, we've done this every year, am I correct?
Yes.
Okay.
This is just standard thing that the Ed Berger from the Atlanta County Surf Fishing Derby has asked us to open up our beaches to the derby and allow people to drive their vehicles down there. We'll have the permit on them. And we've done it.
Every year. Okay.
So that's all. Fine
with that, yep.
We have that. We have to do a resolution on that next month? Or?
No, just verbal, and okay. Then I'll get together with the chief.
Do you know the dates, Lance?
It's right here. It starts this year from September 23rd through November 17th, 2019.
Okay.
So, there we go.
Chief, do you have a few items?
Do you want to lead us into the first one? Do you want to secure first?
I'll lead us into the first one. Okay. It's really just about kind of the facts that we've uncovered on parking permits in the city. And I wanted to sort of bring us all to the same level of facts as we go forward trying to figure out how to handle this. So in the first ward from Jackson to Frankfurt, and then we're considering extending that parking permit towards to Little Rock or in Victoria potentially, which after we kind of dug in and we did an inventory of the number of actual parking places that are available to residents and guests, it's in the neighborhood of 650 parking places that are in a 2-hour zone. So that on one hand is our basic inventory. On the other hand, we have, over the years, historically given, each high-rise a permit per bedroom and up to two visitor permits, which is in the neighborhood of 6,000 permits. Add to that the permits for residents in that area, could be between another 1,000 to 2,000 permits. Add to that another 100 for employees in that area. So you're talking
about on top of each other?
Neighborhood of 7,000 to 8,000 permits.
Excuse me.
Versus a 650 spot inventory. So there's something we've got to unpack there. We have to figure out how other cities do it, how we do it in the most efficient way, and what's fair to all the residents, not just the higher rise. That seems to be the imbalance in the version. Yeah.
And that came up in our state of the city discussion.
It did, It did. And this is sort of like the follow up from that, and what we've learned through Jimmy, Chief, and then.
Some of those high rises, do they all have parking facilities?
They do. So that's part of it. I'm not asking for any answers or any ideas about it just yet. I just want you to know where we're at with it, and that
it's a big number.
It's a huge number.
You got to look at it, and you know, there's and the answer is usually always in the middle. There are cities that charge, and Cape May, for instance. I'm not saying we're Cape May. I'm just saying these are, you're going to find out what the common practices are out there. They charge up to $350 per season. They have them on first come, first serve for 300 parking permits. We're not there, but other cities charge $50 to $100 for, you know, for permits.
So $50?
A dollar a year.
A dollar a year. So, there you go.
Dollar.
I mean,
okay. I could have said that myself.
Yeah. So it's not an answer, it's a statement of facts.
Working progress.
A work in progress.
Okay. Did you, now you're...
And I'm just going to add to that, is that with the theater project, hopefully for the new year, come to fruition, and the amount of building that's going on in the first ward, where there was once a lot of off-street parking, the new flood elevation restrictions are requiring off-street parking. And with the garages that are being placed underneath houses now, it's a blessing to have it, but it's also a curse, because for every parking space, for every driveway they add, it's the curb cuts, which now takes, you're giving them one parking space under their house, but it's taking up two on the street. So it's just something we have to be aware of.
Which other cities have as well.
If
you drive through, you know, Avalon, Stone Harbor, those kinds of cities. And we have to kind of, so this is, I think it's a good thing that you and the building department are now talking on
absolutely
that better now and problem solving.
There's a lot of former places that have renovated that made what was once garages into legal living spaces, but they remained with the curb cuts. So that's also taken up that spot.
We can close them up.
Correct. Yeah. So it's something that we're now working together.
And I know there's people that added curb cuts to get the parking on their lawn where they don't have it. I've seen some of that. So every morning I do that.
If it's something we're aware of, it's a big question mark, but we're going to have to do something. And sooner rather than later, we're going to have to formulate a plan. So that's where we are with that.
Any thoughts you have, please bring it up.
And you know, the other thing is building security. We've been working for the last 3 or 4 months trying to shore up City Hall in the best, most eye-pleasing, publicly accessible, without turning the building over to potential problems that we have basically been lucky with. Ventnor has not seen any violence like that, or do I ever open to. It does not mean we should not prepare for it. And with all of the Homeland Security reports and the building investigations we've done around the state, we are one of the last buildings to be as accessible as we are to the public, which has worked well for us, but I believe the time has come to maybe update our security in the building and add some things. So we reached out to a company named Johnson Communications, who deals with sledge carts and doors, stuff like that, to secure our doors way better. And we have come up with a proposal from them, and they were the best company. We dealt with a bunch of them. They came up with the best proposal to add sledge carts, add door access with sledge carts, key fobs, or wristbands. It keeps track of who goes in and out of our doors. It locks automatically behind you. I'm also going to be proposing in the future that the building after hours not be publicly accessible because of the police department being here. It's something that we've always ignored, and we've allowed the public to have free access. I think those times are kind of come and gone. And what we're going to do is we're going to be adding an after hours kiosk at the Cambridge Avenue, if the proposal is approved, with a camera, and they'll be talking to our dispatchers when they want to come in. The bathrooms and stuff like that are not going to be accessible to the public anymore. We're one of the few that even allows that. In my opinion, it's a huge security risk because my dispatchers can't be keeping an eye on everybody who comes in. It's tough. We also are going to be addressing the mayor's office issues with security there and add a similar camera outside Patty's door, which will be able to buzz people in. And we're doing the same outside upstairs into the police area, which is my office and the administration's office. It's not offensive, it's least intrusive. It's the least we can do with the way things are without locking this down and building and really making us secure with metal detectors. And I don't think we're there, but I think we need to do something. And much like we did with Lafayette Avenue, the ECC, a little bit of security goes a long way, and it's going to take a little bit of retraining with the public, but they'll get used to it. And it's, you know, it's just a sign of the times. So I will be bringing a proposal to you in the near future with everything that I need. It's probably going to be out of capital, which we already have money set aside in bond, and it's going to be about $100,000. But it will get us moving in the right direction.
So I asked Doug to come here and update you, because as he said, he's ready to move forward with a proposal that would be on the agenda, and I wanted you to hear what, what his, the thinking is. So if you heard anything alarming or something you really didn't like.
Right. As Chief explained it, I'm much more comfortable than what I heard just the other day. So I'll bill from across my desk for, you know.
That's what he did.
Okay. Yeah. But that, but now what he's saying makes that
for the public sense. The public will not notice anything when they come in during workouts.
What happens behind Pat,
yes,
makes more sense now.
Right.
So now I'm comfortable with what the Chief just explained. You're right. We need to have control over what, who has access to this building.
It's really, that's what's going to come down to, Commissioner.
There will still be public access during the day, but it'll be controlled.
Right. It's not going to be anybody can just open the door and walk in. That's got to stop. We're going to be making, they're still going to have that approachable window where you can talk to people through it and everything like that. Nothing's really going to change, but for us, it's going to be a matter of just personal security. You know that you're behind a secure area and not John Q citizen who's got an agenda is going to walk through your door and do whatever. So.
Doug, during working hours, the exterior doors are still open?
The exterior doors, right, yes, okay. At this time.
Yeah, this is office space.
The interior,
this is right. Yeah. However, at the close of,
On
weekends and stuff like that, we really do have to. I mean, we've had a homeless person sleeping in our stairwell, which we've allowed during the cold weather. Those times have come and gone again, where we have to be a little more secure, and that's where I'm at. And everybody knows the way I feel about things like that. I would like to open my office to everybody, but even I feel, you know, a little bit concerned at this point. So a little bit of an ounce of prevention goes a long way. That's what I'm going to look
for. Exterior doors, okay, will be locked by what, 4:30?
Whenever. Yeah, meetings will still be open. But we're going to utilize at nighttime. The Cambridge Avenue entrance is going to be the main entrance that I would use. And it'll be much easier to police and surveil.
Handicap accessible.
Handicap accessible, the elevator's right there.
Right.
So, I mean, it's a win-win for us. Little adjustment for everybody who's been here.
So the kiosk goes notified to dispatch?
The kiosk for the back, but for meetings, it'll still be open.
Okay.
But when there's not a meeting, there's only a few meetings during the week or whatever, you'll enter and I'll bring in the next meeting. I will show you the beautiful PowerPoint
It'll be a kiosk, just like any other. Press the button, dispatch will say, how you doing, wait, where, how may I direct you? I need to see an officer, okay, they'll be buzzed in, they'll be waiting in the hallway. Mm-hmm. It's really simple.
And that'll be right at the same
time. And they'll have a camera, yes. So if it's somebody who needs police help, they can get themselves in real quick. They'll be buzzed in. There'll also be an emergency button they can press too. It's really sophisticated, but it's not as intricate as you might think. It's really cool. And it's really, I mean, it's public friendly. So it's really, the time has come.
It's code that still has a pass-through window.
That's going to be phase 1.5, 2, yeah. Is going to be adding what we have is a, I hate to use the word ballistic, but let's just say it's resistant glass that cannot be broken, that the public will still be able to be able to slide open if you want to and talk to somebody. But for the most part, we need to secure our employees as much as we can from anybody. People get irritated over the slightest things now, whether it's taxes, building codes, violations. Remember, we have our police department, our court here. I mean, you've got a lot of things for people to potentially get angry at, and we've always gone under the impression that it would never be there. And I just think that it's time to maybe just tuck it up a little bit. And this is the best way to do it.
Okay, great.
I think we're all on the same page. Good explanation too. Is that a question?
I would just ask for a thorough review of that sledge cart system. I know there's a couple like cable limits on there, a couple that I want to make sure that we're buying the right hardware from that. And I trust your advice on it.
You should always question it. That's your job. Yeah. And I will show you why I think this company is the best. And you'll go with your thought. Yeah. So I will bring that. I'll even have them come in. If you would like to do a presentation, they do a great presentation, they sell us on it, and it's...
That's where it can be kept.
My only concern is the expense part.
You can open a bracelet on the door, key fob. For my guys that are, because we utilize the holding cells and everything, my guys, I would get them to bracelets. They would just wipe the bracelets so they can still control suspects and stuff like that.
Right.
So
they don't have a sledge.
And we would have part of that.
Right. Yeah. And it can be formulated into our IDs.
That's what I said. Right.
And so you know who's going in and out and keep track of it. So,
like that's what we don't have. None of us have ID.
Come up and see me. I'm the ID guy. It's not a beach. It's at the bottom of my little resume. But it's one of those titles.
Stop.
ID
maker.
Oh my God.
All right.
One question.
Yes, ma'am.
Which I'm sure you handled already, but the building is historic.
Yes.
So we won't have any issues with putting anything on the outside?
No, the doors, even the fittings that they provide are historical society friendly.
Okay, great.
And the doors, some doors will need to be replaced, but most of the doors are retrofitted.
Okay.
And they can be retrofitted into the existing doors. So we pretty much thought of everything, but I'm sure you guys will come up with something else.
Thank
the kitchen guy,
that's what we
know. That's what we do here.
That's what you do. That is exactly what you do. So. So that's all I have for you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chief.
And we're going to have a resolution for the next month?
For next month, I will have this prepared once. But I would like to maybe with Tim and Maria, bring them in and show you what they have.
Yeah. Show and tell?
Show and tell.
Yeah, great.
All right? Yeah. You don't need me anymore, I'll be leaving.
You don't need me. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Take care, buddy.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
That's it for questions, correct?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. So, do I have a motion to open the public portion for the items that we discussed?
So moved.
Turn a second.
Second motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
It's open to the public if anyone likes to speak on anything that we've discussed so far. Is it what we discussed already?
That's later.
We're going to have another one. We'll jump. Don't worry, we're going to move fast. I see none. Do I have a motion to close the public portion?
Motion to close.
Do I have a second?
Second motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
There are a motion to close workshop portion of the meeting.
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. We have no minutes to approve. We have no introductions of ordinances. We have no adoption of ordinances or public hearings. We have a public comment section now for the resolutions that we will be voting on by consent. So a motion to open public comment.
Motion to open public on resolutions.
Do I have a second?
Second motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone from the public like to speak on the resolution?
Motion to close.
All right, second?
Second motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Do I have a motion to adopt, where am I?
Resolutions 2019-241 to 2019-251 by consent.
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Lisa, roll call, please.
Commissioner Crevel?
Yes.
Commissioner Langria?
Yes.
Mayor Holtzman?
Yes. Al, would you like to read our bills and payroll to be approved tonight?
Sure. Our bill list tonight is $1,796,981.04. Obviously, that's the school payment. And for payroll, it's $649,811.99.
Do I have a motion to approve bills and payroll stated by the CFO?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second motion.
Lisa, roll call, please.
Commissioner Crevel?
Yes.
Commissioner Langria?
Yes.
Mayor Holtzman?
Yes. Do we have any other announcements or safety report? We're good?
No.
We're good for good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Commissioner report? I'm sorry.
That's fine, yes. That's fine. Commissioner Collins report.
I just have one thing I want to pass on. It's good, a positive thing. Despite our ladder truck getting hit or getting into an accident, the repairs are fully covered, including a rental vehicle through our insurance is going to have a Quint, which allows us to train on a vehicle that we're considering purchasing in the future. So we didn't know those. Okay, so there's an accident, and that is underway, but a vehicle like that is, you know, it's a 6 month, could be as much as that.
What rental agency do you go to for a ladder truck?
Yeah,
that's what I want to know. Enterprise?
Right. You gotta make sure you return
just eight wheels.
You still have to make sure you return it with a full tank of diesel, by the way.
I'm sure.
It's true. There's an accident on the street, someone was parking along illegally, and it couldn't make the turn. There were some doors on the side that, and some equipment doors that got damaged, but it's a million plus vehicle that takes a lot of to have to be repaired and replaced by qualified.
The car was parked illegal or illegal?
Illegal.
Yeah. And so
our
truck could make the turn.
Our ladder truck is our biggest vehicle.
Shouldn't they pay for that?
Sorry.
Shouldn't the person that parked illegal?
Well, eventually they will. I'm sure our insurance company will go after their insurance company.
Yeah, no dollars really other than our deductible, just like normally would work.
Okay.
But the next thing I wanted to mention was just to see our fire department at work saving dollars. My grandmother used to say, boil the boats to make the soup. We have to, you know, to wring every little bit of value out of something. We have this $250,000 grant for air packs. It was an expense to us, but as you drill down how that's going to play out, we're taking the air packs that we have at govfield.com. We're probably going to get somewhere north of $50,000 for that equipment. And then we're also saving money in the training and for that that we're doing locally now instead of going out. And then the balance of the equipment that we're not going to use is going to be given to that isn't worthy of Gov.com is going to be given to volunteer fire departments that need that kind of equipment, and that is goodwill on their behalf. So there's a lot of really working that. We're also taking some of that equipment to the county to train on and trading it in kind for training.
Facility.
So, training. Yeah,
so there's a lot
going on. Creative finances. Exactly. Right. Just thought we'd share some wins. Yeah,
that's good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Can I answer
okay?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so,
well, you know what, I should update you guys on the pier.
I'm also confused.
Yeah, so the pier restrooms that we're trying to get built this winter, ran into a little bit of a hurdle with a permit that had expired in 2017. We're back on schedule. We have to get an updated permit for that. It's a CAFA permit, Coastal Area Facilities Review Act permit. Been on back for the emails with DEP and their staff. The first question was, do you have a sewer area map that includes the pier? We look at the one the county has, it does not include the pier. I call up Dick Carter, a former city engineer. He rebuilt that pier, take care of this? He said, yep, sent me a letter last night, amended what's called our 208 plan to include the pier specifically with the restroom on it. So that was a big hurdle that could have caused some significant delays. We're in the right lane now, we believe. We've got some support from Senator Brown's office. And a summer resident happens to be the deputy commissioner of the DEP, so that helps a little bit too.
So I'll be using it.
Yes. Some places right there. So just to get us in the right lane. So we should be good to go. We're going to refile that application now for not only the restrooms, but the snack bar out there too. So.
Yeah. Was the original permit, did it include a snack bar on the larger facility that we're not doing at all? There was a second building that was not even being, I don't think it was.
Well, that was the locker room.
The locker room, yeah, which was part of that. Right. So I'm just thinking, would it help us anyway?
We're going smaller.
Much smaller.
Very smaller. So that's what they look at. It's on a pier that exists. Honestly, it's very frustrating.
I was about to say, the most frustrating thing is that we have no idea. It could be a week, it could be a month.
No, it won't be a week.
Okay.
I can pretty much guarantee
it. It won't be a week. So it could be a month, it could be 6 months.
Exactly.
Probably not a month.
I've impressed upon them that we need to construct this in the fall.
Yeah.
We don't want to be building in the dead winter.
Right.
We want it up for the spring fishing season,
right,
as well as the next summer season. So
we need to put it out in the bid.
Right. So I would start that now.
Okay.
Put that a bid line. Get that going, get contractor in, get moving forward. It's moving in the process. We're in the right, like I said a couple times, we're in the right lane now. It seemed like we were kind of meandering.
All right.
From left passing lane to dead slow right lane. So
okay.
We're moving forward.
I know this is going to sound like I'm kissing up, but you don't know how often I reflect on how much you each know in your individual areas and how hard some of these things would be to get done if we had somebody that didn't know this stuff. Like, this is your area. I mean, I can't imagine what we've gone through.
I know Catherine is right there.
To get this done without someone who knows this stuff.
Yeah.
Or the right person to call. I mean, look, I actually emailed him last night while I was at a hearing out in Hamilton. He emailed Roger and he asked me to go to lunch there with Dick. I said, hey, does Dick have anything on this?
Mm-hmm.
And within an hour, I had the letter in my inbox.
Right.
And I sent it right up to DEP. He's like, this is great, solve that issue. So it's...
It would just be so difficult.
Yeah, delicious.
Even the words are tough to understand sometimes.
Acronyms.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
You're welcome.
That's all I have.
Okay. All right, so the next is the public comment section where you can get up and speak about anything. Do I have a motion to open public comment?
Motion to open public comment.
Do I have a second?
Second motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
You just come to the microphone, you can state your name and address, and then say whatever you wish.
So I'm Ira Winston, 111 South Buffalo. First, I just want to comment. I attended your meeting a few weeks ago, the public meeting, and I was super impressed with all the things you guys have done to make this place better.
Oh, thank you.
I live in Philadelphia, or outside of Philadelphia during the year, and I just contrast this government to the one in my small town, and you guys are professionals and you work together. And those are two things that we don't have, and it's great to see. So that's just a word of thanks. And then the other comment I have is, so I guess, before next season, we're going to be opening, you know, one bar and one movie theater that serves alcohol. And right now, you know, most of the restaurants and stores and everything, you know, we're pretty closed up by about 10:30, maybe 11 o'clock on a good night. Now, I think we're probably going to have some places that are open somewhat later and serving alcohol. And
if we put restrictions,
we did.
I think it's regarding how late they could stay open.
I think it's 1 a.m.
Was it 1 a.m.?
I have to double check. Is it midnight or 1 a.m.?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we've gone back and
forth. Okay, well, yeah, midnight's cool, but it's just like
it
all
is
of
late.
A sudden,
right.
You're
it's
later,
right.
And you're going to have
right.
People drinking outside, and
right.
It's just it's like a completely new thing.
Right.
You know.
That's why we put those parameters, because we didn't want those facilities open until 4 in the morning.
Right. I just again, you have like 4 or 5 months, or maybe more than that, because it won't really pick up till the season.
Right.
Just keep in mind what you're going to do about, you know, sort of policing those areas. I mean,
yeah,
you've got,
on it, right.
You've got a huge police force, or appropriately sized right. police force that could easily take care of this. But, you know, it could become, you know, an issue. I mean, I'm sure you already have the issue right now with house parties, so it's not a completely
right.
new issue for the town.
And they're both restaurants.
Right, so at least people will be
it's not like a bar, nightclub, right, a yeah. restaurant.
But anyway, it's just something to keep in mind, because that tends to be, we've never attracted that
right.
that extra trouble here.
Yeah, so there's one of the things that that we have to do is train officers to have officers on duty. They're specifically trained in the rules and regulations that the ADC has. And we start that a year in advance of putting the first bid up. But your points are well taken.
Yeah.
So we're preparing on the police force side, but I think we're also preparing just in general from a community standpoint to be prepared for the parking issue. We're talking about that a lot. We appreciate your comment.
Yeah, but they've also got to, I mean, St. Tucci's is established, but they know how to do this. They've got to train their servers.
That's right.
Their bartenders to detect someone.
They learn alcohol awareness. The restaurant industry.
I mean, I'm sure he knows that.
Exactly.
And I think the other operator also.
They have other restaurants.
They have a number of them.
They're not like brand new.
No. It'll take some adjustment, but I think it'll be good.
Oh, no, I'm looking forward to it.
Great. Well, thanks for coming, and now you just have to move here permanently.
Give me 5 years.
Okay, sounds good. Anyone else from the public like to make any comments? No? All right.
Motion to close.
Do I have a second?
Second motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Do we have an executive session? I don't think so.
We do not.
We do not. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Adjourn.